In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Sunday Gospel readings in ordinary time follow a three-year cycle, and each year we focus on one of the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Gospel of John, incidentally, is not included in this cycle because it is read each year on special feasts and holidays, such as Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Well, this year, we concentrate on the Gospel of Matthew. We know that St. Matthew composed his Gospel, this account of the life and teachings of Jesus, for a Jewish Christian community, probably in Israel or in Syria. And therefore, Matthew made a very conscious effort to present Jesus in such a way that those who had been raised in the Jewish faith would understand that he was God, the God of Israel. For example, Matthew's Gospel is arranged into five major sections, or books of teachings, which offer a parallel to the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. The first section of Matthew's Gospel is dominated by the Sermon on the Mount. Just as in the book of Exodus, Moses ascended Mount Sinai to receive the tablets of the law from the Lord God, so Jesus ascends the Mount of the Beatitudes, except he does not go up to receive the law, but rather to teach the new law of the kingdom of heaven to his disciples. To the ears of Matthew's Jewish Christian community, the Sermon on the Mount would be recapitulating the revelation of the law on Mount Sinai, and Jesus would be taking the place of God. Incidentally, it's interesting to note that in St. Luke's Gospel, where Jesus gives a sermon containing much of the material of the Sermon on the Mount, there he does it not on a mountain, but on a plain. And it seems likely that Luke's Gentile Christian community would not have understood in the same way the divine symbolism of the Sermon on the Mount as Matthew's community did. However, we don't know whether Matthew and Luke are actually reporting two different sermons in different places, one on a mountain or the other on a plain, or whether each constructed his sermon from diverse materials for literary purposes and a summary example of Jesus' teaching. But for those of you who've been to the site traditionally identified as the Mount of the Beatitudes, you know that it is on a hill near Capernaum overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And you know that on the top of that hill, there is a very large level area where they now have a Franciscan monastery and a church. So it could be accurately described as either a mount or as a plain. Well, this year, our Gospel readings over the next few weeks until the beginning of Lent will be from the Sermon on the Mount. And I will try to offer some reflections on what Jesus' new teaching was and how it was related to Jewish tradition and also how it differed. The Sermon on the Mount opens with nine Beatitudes. They follow a standard formula, blessed are so-and-so. And there is an impressive Old Testament background of sayings which follow this formula. For example, in Psalm 1 we read, blessed is the man who rejects the advice of the wicked and does not stand in the path of sinners. Or consider Psalm 3:13, blessed are those who have discovered wisdom, those who have acquired understanding. Or Psalm 33, how blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We can see then that Jesus is taking a standard Old Testament literary formula, the Beatitude, describing someone as blessed, and expanding it into a series of blessings, which he uses to describe the ideal follower of Christ. The Beatitudes are not separate virtues. Rather, the good Christian is supposed to share in each one of these blessings. Poverty of spirit, for we are called to be humble and disciplined in our way of life. Gentleness, for we are called to be quiet and even-tempered. Mourning, we weep for those who suffer and for those who have died. The hunger and thirst for righteousness, we must have a dedication, a passion for justice, not merely legal justice, but a spirit of honesty and fairness and equity in all our dealings. Mercy, we must be forgiving and compassionate to all and especially those who are less fortunate than we are. Purity of heart, we must see ourselves as made in the image and likeness of God and treat one another as brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peacemaking, we should bring harmony and healing to our families, to our nation, and to the world. And we should welcome being persecuted and abused for the cause of righteousness and for the name of Jesus. That is how the world treated the prophets. That is how the world treated God himself when he was born and lived among us. How blessed we will be if we follow in his footsteps and come at last to share in the joy of his presence in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.